Great to be able to worship the Lord together this morning. And as we think of Father's Day, of course, we are glad this morning that we not only have earthly fathers, but we have our Heavenly Father, who is our great example. And He is also the one who has given us instruction on how to be the fathers that we ought to be and need to be. Take our Bible this morning and turn to Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63, verses 7 to 19 is the text for the message this morning. I was asked a few years ago by somebody from a different religion why Christians talk about God as their Father. And I explained to that person that asked that question, the relationship that we have with God is much like that Father-Son relationship that we enjoy here on earth. Sadly, of course, the state of fatherhood is at a low point in our society in many ways. It makes it difficult for some to see or appreciate God as their Father with the way fatherhood has been degraded and brought down the way it is in our society today. We live in a day where many fathers are not fulfilling the duties of a father, whether it be absenteeism due to broken relationships or lack of commitment, or even long work and not able to spend the time at home. Failure to provide for children due to poor choices and lack of responsibility. And a broken trust, of course, the saddest one due to abuse and different things like that. And so fatherhood is not what we would desire it to be. It's not what God would desire it to be in many situations as we look around in our world today. But this morning, as we look in the message, I'd like to draw some parallels between that earthly father-son relationship and father-child relationship and God's relationship with His people. And for all of us, I trust that this message will help us to better appreciate our God for the great Father that He is to us, and that we will be assured, of course, that God is our Father. As fathers, I trust it will help us to have a greater commitment to show our children who God is by the way we desire to raise them and by the way we live our lives. For surely that is God's desire, that our children would see God in our lives. And for those yet to experience the joy of fatherhood, perhaps in some time in the future, I trust perhaps this message will help you to determine now, even before God, to be the father that God would have you to be. I believe the greatest attribute a father can have for his children is love. Because love will cause you to be the father that you need to be in the other ways, as we'll see in the message this morning. And so, in our text today, I believe that we see the love of the Father. Isaiah 63, verses 7 to 9, follow along with me. The Bible says, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He hath bestowed on them according to His mercies and according to the multitude of His loving kindnesses. For He said, surely they are My people, children that will not lie. So He was their Savior. In all their affliction He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity He redeemed them, and He bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. Then He remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is He that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of His flock? Where is He that put His Holy Spirit within Him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with His glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make Himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble? As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst Thou lead Thy people to make Thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and behold the habitation of Thy holiness and of Thy glory. Where is Thy zeal and Thy strength and the sounding of Thy bowels and of Thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless Thou art our Father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast Thou made us to err from Thy ways and hardened our heart from Thy fear? Return for Thy servant's sake the tribes of Thine inheritance. And then going on to verse 18, the people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. The love of the Father. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, we are thankful for this time. And Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that is before us today. And Lord, we ask you that you would speak to us through it. Lord, we thank you that we can call you our God and our Father. Lord, we pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts, that we would know indeed that you are our Father today. And Lord, if there be anyone who is not yet a child of God, I pray that today would be the day where they would see their need of Jesus Christ and receive him as their Savior and thus be born into the family of God. And Lord, for those of us who know you, I pray that we would appreciate the love that you have bestowed upon us. And Lord, that we would see in you, our Father, the ways that we need to be treating our children and the way we need to be as fathers today. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would know that you've spoken to us as we leave here and that we would say it's good to have been in the house of God together. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, that in love, God is good to us. Did you notice in verse number 7 how often the word loving kindness or loving kindnesses of the Lord is mentioned? His love, His goodness, His loving kindness toward us. Loving kindness, of course, is a compound word. I'm no English scholar, but compound means they take two or more words and put them together. Loving and kindness are two words put into one. The Hebrew word has the thought of favor, good deed, mercy, or pity. Because God loves us, He is good and kind to us. I said a moment ago that I believe the greatest attribute of a father is love. Because love will cause us to be the fathers that we need to be in other ways. We look at God and we realize that in love, He loves us and therefore He is good to us. We look at this verse and it talks about how God has bestowed upon Israel the many blessings that He had put upon them. That it says, according to His mercies, according to the multitude of His loving kindnesses. Now, if you key in loving kindnesses on your typical word processing, spell correct thing, it doesn't like it. But I like it. Amen. I like loving kindness. I'm glad that God is loving and therefore He is kind, not only in one thing, but in many areas. His many loving kindnesses toward us, they are multitudes of them. They are without number. And the psalmist said, if I should think of your blessings toward me, they're without number. And so we sing the song, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. They are beyond number. Why? Why does God do that? Because He loves us. He loves us and therefore He blesses us. The saying is that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You know, God could in an obligatory kind of sense say, well, I created those people, so I suppose I'd better do something for them. But that's not how God gives toward us. That's not how God blesses us. He blesses us because He loves us. He chooses to love us and He therefore blesses us. Jesus compares a father supplying his child's needs with God supplying ours in Luke chapter 11. He said, if a child is hungry and he asks his father for something to eat, will his father give him something that will hurt him? No. Why? Because the father loves the child and therefore he will provide for his needs. He will look after the child's needs. And so we think of God and we say, God blesses us. Why? Because God loves us so. He is a great God. He is the great Father. The Bible says He is the Father to the fatherless. And those of us who have lost our fathers along the way, some way along the way, we can know today that God is the Father of us and He blesses us. And He puts a solitary in families and He blesses us in so many ways. Why? Because He loves us so. His love is beyond our comprehension. The Bible tells us, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Wow, it's mind-blowing. It's amazing. It goes far beyond our understanding. And so God, because He loves us, He blesses us as fathers. If we love our children like we ought to love our children, we will say, I want to provide for their needs. I want to look after their needs. I want to see them do well in life because I love them. then we ought to love our children enough, of course, to do those things for them. You see, that's a natural thing, and that's what almost any father, any parent would desire to do. But that is God's love for us today. He loves us enough so that He blesses us and He is kind towards us. But we also see that in love, God calls us His own. I like verse number 8. It says, "For He, God, said, surely they are My people." Yes, they're mine. He looked down upon Israel and He said, surely they are My people. He looks down upon you if you're His child today and He says, surely they are My people. And those of you who are parents, and of course we think about fathers today, you remember, I'm sure, when your children were born. And when your children were born, as your children are there and people come to see, perhaps to congratulate you, you say, yep, here he is, here she is, this is my child. And you got a grin from ear to ear and you're proud to say, this is my child. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm proud to say that. I'm glad to say that. Yes, God says, I am glad to call you my children. Surely in love, He says, surely they are my children. I'm not ashamed to say that my children, I'm glad. Now sometimes when our children get older, as we got older as children, our parents maybe said, oh yeah, they're mine. Sorry. But no, we're proud that we're glad to call. And God says, He says, surely they are my children. He's happy because He loves us. He's happy to call us His children. Is it not a miracle that God desires to call us His children? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I quoted for you a moment ago. That's just part of the verse. 1 John 3:1. The rest of the verse says that we shall be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. The manner of love that God has bestowed upon us is that we should be called His children. That's amazing, to be called the children of God. But wait, who are the ones who God calls His children today? Paul, in preaching on Mars Hill, said in the book of Acts chapter 17 that we are all His offspring in the sense that He created us. He created the world. He is in that sense a father to all. And yet we realize that spiritually speaking, we are naturally far from God and we only become His in salvation. Jesus spoke to a group of very religious people and said to them, "Ear of your father, the devil." We realize that not everybody is God's child. And so how do we become the children of God? How is it that we would have God say to us in love, "You are my child"? Well, turn with me to the book of John chapter number 1 and we'll see here in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, how we become children of God. You say, aren't we all children of God? And there'll be many people this morning that met together perhaps and recited what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, which says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name," and so on. And they repeated those words, "Our Father," but the question is, how do we become the children of God? How is it that we can honestly say, He is our Father? John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." What's He saying here? He says, as many as received Him. Who's the Him they're referring to? It's referring to Jesus Christ, because it says in verse 11, He, Christ, came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as did receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What's being said here? What's being said is that by our natural birth, we are not automatically God's children. We need to be born into the family of God. And we are born into the family of God by receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. And when we receive Jesus Christ, our Savior, we're not born of blood or of the will of the flesh, but we're born of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." We've all been born the first time or we wouldn't be here this morning. That's pretty simple to understand, isn't it? But we need to all be born. If you want to be a member of God's family, God says you need to be born again. Nicodemus was an older man and he said, "How can a man be born when he's old? He says, too late, I can't be born from my mother again. So how can I be born? Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We need to be born again into God's family by receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Say, how do we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior? Well, we believe that He died for us because we are sinners. And we say, Lord, I believe You died for me. I turn from my sin and I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I ask You to forgive me and to come into my life and be my Savior. See, Galatians 3:26 says, for you're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We become the children of God by trusting in Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ has done for us in dying on the cross for us. Little story that sometimes we use when teaching children about a little boy with a boat. Little boy made a boat and he was very proud of his boat and he was happy to have his boat and sailed it along and had a little string and towed it about in the water and loved a little boat. But one day he was sailing his little boat and a great fire broke out, and as children are, he was curious as to where the fire was. And in his hurry to go and look to see where the fire trucks were going and what all the commotion was about, he left his boat and he ran off and he went to find out where the fire was and what was going on. And he spent some time watching as the flames were put out by the firefighters and so on. And when he came back and his boat was gone. He was saddened that his boat was gone and he was upset and he just went about thinking, I'm so disappointed that my boat that I made is gone. I can't sail it anymore. And a few days later, he was walking along down the street and stopped by a store. And in the front window of the store was his boat. And there it was in the front window. And he said, there's my boat. And he went inside the store and he said, sir, you need to give me my boat. That's my boat that you've got in the window. And the man said, I'm sorry, sir, son, that boat is, I paid somebody for that boat, and therefore if you want that boat, you'll have to pay for it, you'll have to buy it. That's the only way you can have that boat. And the boy said, but that boat is mine, I made it. And he said, I'm sorry, son, if you want that boat, you're going to have to go and get some money, you're going to have to buy that boat back. And so the little boy went back determined that he was going to retrieve his boat, and he went back and he got his piggy bank and he broke his piggy bank. Then he counted out the money and he went to that store and he paid the price for the boat and he took his little boat in his hand. Then he said, little boat, now you are twice mine. You are mine because I made you, and now you are mine because I bought you. And if you would think about that as it relates to us as people, you realize that God made us. But in our sin, we strayed far away from God. We turned our back on God and we went away and we were lost. But Jesus came, then He paid the price. He died upon the cross. He shed His blood and He said, I offer my blood as a payment for your sin. Then when you believe upon Him, you become His because He bought you and you are twice His. First because He made you and then because He bought you with His precious blood. And I ask you this morning, do you belong to God? Has He bought you? Have you allowed Him to pay the price for your sin upon the cross of Calvary? He paid it. Have you allowed Him to apply it to your life because you trusted Him by faith to be His child? Those who are God's children can come to Him anytime and call Him Father. You know, sometimes when we have the children's program on downstairs and even on Sunday mornings or whatever, and somebody else's child may come up to me and say, can I have this or can I do this or whatever? And I'm not necessarily obligated to say, yes, you can have a drink. Here you go, and get them something out of the fridge and give it to them or whatever, because I am not their father. But if my child comes to me in need, I am obligated as their father, and they have every right to come to me as their father and say, Dad, please, I need this. As long as it's a real need, I will supply it. Sometimes we have needs we think are needs that aren't, don't we? But if God is your father today, you can call upon Him, and He's happy to say, yes, yes, that's my child. Isn't that amazing? In love, He calls us His children. In love, He is with us in all things. In verse number 9, it says, In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Isn't that a beautiful verse? In all their affliction, he was afflicted. Affliction means anguish, distress, tribulation, or trouble. I don't think any of us like going through those things. I'm pretty sure none of us do. But the Bible says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. You know what that says? That says God said, you're hurting, I want to take your hurt. You're going through trouble, I'm with you in that trouble. Who would willingly take somebody else's trouble to add to their own? God says, in all your affliction, I'm afflicted because you are my children. This was not his affliction, it was theirs, and yet he took part in it because he loved them. In Hebrews chapter 2, it tells us in verse 14 to 18 that Jesus took upon himself the form of the children of men. And he was suffered and he was afflicted as we are. You know, as parents, when our children are sick, we do suffer with them, don't we? If we love them, we suffer with them. The lack of sleep, the cleanup sometimes, the pity, you know, we suffer with them. And when we love our children, we say, I wish I could take that from you, and I would rather have it than you. See, a little child, especially when they're babies and they have a cold or they're sick and they can't tell you what's wrong. They can't tell you how they feel, and you just feel so helpless. You think, if I could take what you have and you make you healthy, I'd gladly do it because I love you. But we can't. What we can do, though, is we can stay up with them, we can comfort them, we can talk with them, we can pray with them, we can pray for them, and we can go through those times with them, and they look and they see that my parents care because they're going through this with me. They love me. You know, God's love to us is seen that He takes part in our life. He wants to have a very integral part in our life, not just in the good times. You ever have those friends who are there in the good times and say, oh yeah, this is great, this is wonderful. And then when things go wrong, you say, hey, where are they? I need their help. And they're gone. Well, God's not like that. God says, in all their affliction, I was afflicted. He said, I gave my angel, the angel of His presence, saved them. It says, His messenger, the angel was their protector. You know what happened in Exodus chapter 14, as some of this refers to the Exodus out of Egypt? You know what happened in Exodus? When they fled Egypt, the Egyptian armies came up behind them. They were blocked between the Egyptian armies, the mountains, and the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted its way. God parted the Red Sea for them. They went through, but the Egyptians were still coming behind. The Egyptians were way faster than them. The children of Israel had children. They had cattle. They had all their stuff. The Egyptian armies had chariots and horses, and they were racing behind them. You know what God said? God said the angel that was going before them came around behind them and stood between Israel and Egypt. You know what else God said the angels did? God said the angels took the wheels off the chariots. Pretty exciting, isn't it? Pretty neat. The Word of God is an exciting book. And the Bible says that God sent His angels to take the wheels off the chariots, and the Egyptians drove them hard. They tried to get the horses to pull. You ever try to push something that's supposed to have a wheel on that doesn't? No fun, especially in sand. But God said He sent His angel to deliver them. He sent His angel to show His love to them. And the Bible says in Hebrews 1:14, are not the angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Yes, child of God today, if you're God's child, God says, I love you, I am with you in your affliction, and I've given angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Guardian angels. They're true. They're real. Who let Peter out of prison? the angel came and let him out. God sent the angel to let him out. God loves enough to deliver us and send his angel to help us. He pitied them, it says. His love and concern caused him to pity them, to redeem them, to buy them back. We spoke about that little boat. That boy bought it back. God redeemed his people. They were slaves and he paid the price for their freedom. And so the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He carried them through. To carry means to lift, to advance, or to hold up. Through the 400 plus years in bondage, he carried them, watched over them. Through the 40 years in the wilderness, he carried them, providing for them. And so he says in Exodus 19, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. He just brought them out, on eagle's wings as it were. In the wilderness where thou hast seen what the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man bare his son in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. How many times as children we grew weary and our parents carried us. I remember those times when you went on a trip, went on a journey, went on a visit family or friends or whatever, and you get home and as a child you're tired. You're kind of almost asleep and you get home. You think, man, I don't feel like waking up enough to walk into the house and go into my room. So you pretend you're asleep. What did Dad do? I know what my dad did. Picked me up and carried me in. I think sometimes he knew I was faking it. I'm sure he did. Carried me in and put me down in my bedroom. Carried me through. Why? Because he loved me. God carries us through in our life. Sometimes he puts us on his shoulders. We know the poem about footprints in the sand, don't we? The person who had the dream who said, there was two sets of footprints, but in the times of my life where things were difficult, there's only one. Lord, how could you leave me in that time? And the Lord said, no. No, that's where I carried you. In love, the Bible says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. As our children grow older, sometimes we have to carry them along in a different way. Perhaps we're no longer able to physically carry them. Maybe they have to carry us. There came a time with my dad's life where no longer was he able to carry me, or I had to help him in and out of a wheelchair and so on. Sometimes our children get to a stage in their life, maybe we don't have to carry them physically, but we have to encourage them along the way. Why? We say, listen, I feel your pain, I understand, but listen, look up, keep going. And we're there to encourage them, to help them along. Christian, when you're weary, God is there to carry you. God says, and even to your old age, I am He, and even to hoar hairs, I got some of those gray ones, lots of them, unfortunately, the ones that are left, will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? God says, I'm your Father. I'm going to look after you until the day I welcome you home. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. He is there to carry you through. In love, he is afflicted with you. He's there to carry you. In love, he disciplines you. Say, do we really have to read about this one? Yes, it says in verse 10, they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy. Was he their enemy? No, but he had to discipline them. And they perceived it to be that he was against them. As a father, we understand that we can't let our children just get away with all the wrong things that they do. There has to be a price. We have to teach them that because life, that's the way life is. There's punishment that has to be applied for when we break the laws and so on. And so we realize that as a father, we have to teach our children these things. Is it pleasant? No. But it's necessary. I look back and think about the times I was disciplined in my life and I didn't like them, not one bit. But I look back and I say I'm glad that my parents cared enough not to just let me get away with doing whatever I wanted to do. You know, the Bible says that because God loves us, he chastens us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We need correction in our life. And God sometimes has to bring that correction upon us in our life. Is it pleasant? No, the Bible says no chastening for the present time seems to be joyous but grievous. But afterward, then we realize it was necessary. God loves us. He disciplines us, and we must do the same with our children. Neither the child nor the parent enjoys that correction, but it is necessary and it must be done in love. In love, he leads us. We don't have time to go into great detail on these, but in verses 11 to 14, we see the reminder of God leading them through the wilderness. He led them through. Why did he do that? Because he loved them, because he was a father to them, and he wanted to make sure they were on the right path, heading in the right direction, going to the right place. And in love, he guided them. In love, he led them. He led them through Moses, the man of God spoken of as being a shepherd, to lead them, to guide them through the wilderness. God set Moses as the leader of Israel to bring them out of Egypt and into the promised land. And many times when Moses was doing as God told him, the people complained and Moses took the heat for it, but God was leading his people through the man of God that he placed upon over them to teach them and lead them in his way. And so we realize that God has established the church today, and he's placed leaders in the church, referring to them as shepherds or under-shepherds of the flock who are responsible to feed and lead the people of God. Why did God establish the church? Because he said he wants us to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God and in faith, and he wants people to teach us and train us and help us to understand the right way to go. He loves us, and therefore he leads us along in the pathway that we need to go. He led them through the wilderness. It was a trip through a dangerous place, but the end of the journey was a desirous place, the land of milk and flowing with milk and honey. But there were some pretty barren places along the way, but God led them through that place. Do you realize he led them even though they didn't deserve it? They disobeyed him. They could have gone into the promised land way sooner, avoided all that 40 years in the wilderness. But they said, no, we're not going to believe. We can't conquer those giants. This is too much for us. And God said, therefore, you're going to spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness. But even then, he didn't leave them. He led them. He didn't just say, fine then, you didn't want it. Have fun. He said, I'm going to lead you. Even though you disobeyed me, I'm going to lead you. I want what's best for you. I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. And, of course, that 40 years of it was part of that 40 years was discipline, as we just spoke about. But he continued to lead them. Fathers, God has given you the responsibility to lead and follow, lead your family and follow God. Through the good times and the bad, you lead your family and follow them after God, lead them after God. Child of God, realize today that God is leading you, even if sometimes it seems to be a barren path. He knows the end. He knows where he's taking us. He has a plan and he has a purpose. Then he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He knows the way you take, even if it be seeming like a wilderness. Job, in the midst of his trial, said, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He can make streams in the desert. He talks about that in Isaiah 41, Isaiah 43, that the desert will break out. And God provided, didn't he? His children were going through the wilderness. There was no water. Water came out of a rock. God looked after. He guided them. In love, he led them. And in love, he is merciful to us. In verses 15 to 19, as we've read them this morning, we see that the cry of Israel is of course, looking to God. And in this time, they're crying out to God, saying, God, we know we deserve the discipline that you're putting upon us, but look down from heaven and behold the habitation of thy holiness and thy glory. They say, doubtless thou art our Father. God, be merciful to us, is what they were asking. And God is merciful in love. They knew that they had strayed from Him, but they were still His children. They knew they didn't deserve His favor, but asked for it in mercy. And in mercy, God, in love, rather, God was merciful to them. You realize that God delights in mercy today? By the way, mercy is undeserved kindness. We don't deserve God's mercy. We don't deserve what God bestows upon us, but in love, He is merciful to us. In Micah 7:18, it says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy." How about you, but I'm glad that God delights in mercy. Because I'm like those children of Israel sometimes, and I have a desire to go off on my own path sometimes. And God is merciful because He loves us. He delights in mercy. And in His mercy, He forgives. He passes by our transgression. He pardons our iniquity because He loves us so. How thankful we should be for the mercy of God toward us, not only in saving us, but every day in our life. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, God was merciful, He saved me. That's true. But every day of my life, God is merciful to me. He is full of mercy. And fathers, we must also learn to have mercy towards our children. In love, we must be merciful to them. They will fall short. They will need to be disciplined, but they also need mercy. And if our children would see God in us, they must see that we are merciful to them as God is merciful to us. Because God loves us, He is merciful. The love of the Father is seen in His goodness to us, in His desire to call us His own, in His presence with us in all circumstances of life, in His discipline of us, in His leading of us, and in His mercy towards us. What an awesome, loving Father we have. God, the love of the Father surely is seen in this portion of Scripture. As we've considered the fatherhood of God this morning, let me ask you today, are you His child? Have you been born again? Have you been born into His family? Have you believed in Jesus Christ? See, sin had separated you from God, but Jesus came to pay the price for that sin. And He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You can be saved today. You can know the joy that Nicodemus knew about being born again when he was old. You may say, "I'm not very old." Well, praise God. That's okay. The younger you are when you get saved, the more time you have to serve God. But you can be saved today. You can know that God is your Father today. You can, before you leave this place this morning, call upon Him and ask Him to save you. And He promised that "Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." And when you call upon Him, you can truly say to Him, "Father, Father, You are my Father. Lord, You are my Father." Christian, are you submitting to the Lord as your Father? Are you allowing Him to mold you into the person He desires you to be? Do you appreciate His provision and protection and purpose for your life? Fathers, we have a daunting task. We have a great example. We have a wonderful book that our great example has given to us to be the fathers that we need to be. May God help us to be the fathers that we need to be. In this day where fatherhood is looked down upon by many, may it be that our children, by the grace of God, would be able to see the fatherhood of God through the way we parent our children. And young men who are here this morning, maybe one day by God's grace, you too may be a father. Will you determine now to raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And to be the Father He can enable you to be. Praise God for the love of the Father today. Let's pray.